Kia ora, Kofor Smitho, nau mai ki te whare. Welcome to the House. The political year starts early in the New Zealand summer, but in Parliament it smoulders a little longer before finally bursting into flame.
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, I move again with much enthusiasm that this House express its confidence in the Coalition Government and commend its programme for 2020 as set out in the Prime Minister's statement.
Now the debate on the Prime Minister's statement is underway, election year politics is burning inside Parliament as well as outside. When we at the House talked to the Leader of the House, Chris Hipkins, at the beginning of the week, he said this.
I imagine that there'll be a lot of very political debate on the Prime Minister's statement at the start of an election year. I imagine parties will set out their stalls for the election campaign. They'll basically start to make their case to the electorate. They'll state what they think the themes of the campaign might be, for example, or how they want the themes of the campaign to be.
I like the setting out their stalls metaphor, and he's not wrong. Strictly speaking, the parliamentary point of the debate on the Prime Minister's statement is for the PM to set out the government's intentions for the year, for the MPs to debate them, and then to either approve the government's plan or to oppose it, and by opposing, end them. Because a vote against the PM's statement is a vote of no confidence, which would bring down the government. Which is why it mattered that the Leader of the Opposition forgot, for the second year running, to table his amendment of no confidence, and the House had to pause and wait for him. Because the question is, does Parliament still want this current government in charge? It's the same question we get to answer in September, and this debate foreshadows the campaign to come. So here's a brief outline of the party leaders' arguments. The Prime Minister's whole message was encapsulated in how she described answering a question from the failing Mike Moore.
He said, "What are you doing next?" And the answer to that is simple, more. Yeah.
The Prime Minister began, though, with context via some history of a sort.
Let's start at the very start. In the beginning. Before there was light. There were 9 years of darkness.
The PM sought to outline how much they had achieved so far in overcoming what she portrayed as various inherited crises, particularly in inequality, poverty, housing and infrastructure.
We are a government of infrastructure. That in 2016 we saw no new dollars for health capital expenditure. In 2017 we saw just $150 million. No wonder we had sewage in the walls. Within 2 years, of course, Mr Speaker, we have invested $2.5 billion into health. Now that number, it doesn't tell you the story of the mental health wards that we are making safe again by rebuilding them in the central North Island in Waikato. It doesn't tell you about the investment we're putting into Tairawhiti that doesn't have beds for alcohol and drug rehabilitation.
And to steal the opposition's favourite recent platform, also transport.
$12 billion, which adds a significant amount to making sure that we get New Zealanders out of congestion, that we give them options for walking and cycling and rail.
There was also education.
And that not only has reduced the burden of debt for our young people for generations to come, it's meant that those moving into apprenticeships, for those first 2 years, they pay nothing. And that has made a difference. Since that time, 3,900 Kiwis have taken up construction apprenticeships. That is exactly what this country needed.
And this, the most visceral point of contention.
That side of the House has nothing but a foundation of shame when it comes to housing. Homelessness and the sheer audacity. Homelessness rates at the worst levels we had seen in the OECD, Mr Speaker. Home ownership, the worst since 1951. Mr Speaker, at a time when children were sleeping in cars, what did they do to state houses? They decreased, our net stock housing stock decreased by 5,000. When we needed housing the most, that government sold them, and it is a disgrace. And we have had to rebuild ever since. But Mr Speaker, we have. We have now created more than 4,258 public housing places. Every single one of these is a home.
She went on to talk about paid parental leave, winter energy payments, benefit indexation, minimum wage increases, school donation support, mental health and health budgets and workforce increases, and so on and so on.
There is more to do. After 9 years in blue smoke and darkness, there is plenty more to do. But, Mr. Speaker, this year is the chance for New Zealanders to have their say in making sure we, as a government, continue to get the job done.
For National, Simon Bridges portrayed a very different picture of the state of the nation.
This House has no confidence in the Labor-led government because in just 2 short years it has plunged New Zealand into deficit and failed to deliver on any of its promises.
His themes, though, were very similar, particularly that National was the true home of infrastructure.
They have cancelled more houses at Ihamatu, Mr. Speaker, than they have built in this term in government. And she has the audacity to say she's running a facts-based campaign this year where they are the party of infrastructure. I don't think so.
In keeping with his role as Leader of the Opposition, he spent the vast majority of his time talking about the government.
Jacinda Ardern's government will go down in history as a story of lost opportunities for New Zealanders. Whether it'll be no infrastructure projects starting anywhere in New Zealand, and there's the story, that's right. Well, you say, I hear you say Shane Jones roundabout. Actually, even that hasn't started, as I understand it, Mr. Speaker. Not even that has started. Not a single infrastructure project in her 3 years in government. Not light rail, not Kiwi Bill, not roads, not nothing. And more than 30,000, I should say almost 30,000 people on the dole, and 7 out of 9 child poverty indicators getting worse under this government. And she has the temerity to start and say she's starting at the beginning because things were so bad. These things are getting worse under this government, Mr. Speaker. That is what is happening in New Zealand right now. And these aren't just statistics. These are real people on the ground in your electorate, actually, Calvin Davis, who are getting poorer, who are finding it harder, who don't have houses, who don't have food, who have to go for food parcels because your government is failing to deliver on its promises.
But for most of the last 3 minutes of his 20, Simon Bridges moved into more of an election pitch, saying what alternative he proposed. It was, as he said, a pretty simple plan. Tax cuts, deregulation, more roads and crime reduction.
There's a contrast in this parliament between big talk, a lack of delivery, zero substance behind that party over 3 years failing to deliver for New Zealand. And on this side, a party that when it says it will do something, delivers for New Zealanders, that is going to deliver that money in their pockets, that is going to deliver the infrastructure that's required, and that's going to deliver a safer New Zealand for all families.
Next up was the leader of New Zealand First, Winston Peters, who, as is his wont, freewheeled between promoting New Zealand First and riffing on critiques of the opposition.
There was a poll, and I saw it this morning, of the leaders of political parties in this country. One party has a leader whose positive negative rating is minus 32%. We begin the year in good heart, in good standing, positioned as the centre party of this country, ensuring that balanced common sense and good policy prevail over rampant ideology and bad ideas.
His basic themes, though, were, like the Prime Minister's, about what has been done.
Since then, growth is up. Immigration is down. The minimum wage is up. Unemployment is down. Infrastructure investment is up. Business pessimism is down. 1 billion trees are growing up. The National Party support is crashing down.
But he too looked back to the previous government.
They only had one part of the economic plan, just explode the population. Now, everybody in Auckland knows what that meant. Everybody around the country knows what that meant. House prices going through the roof, a lack of housing and massive demand, schools, hospital and infrastructure. The stress was minus, and immigration explains the housing market distortion and crippling infrastructure deficit.
When it came time for James Shaw to speak for the Greens, he began on a different tack, the Australian bushfires.
The areas that were burned by the fires, if that had occurred here in New Zealand, would have stretched from Cape Reinga in the north to Rotorua and burned everything in between.
Now, the bushfires aren't really an issue under debate, but as they're a disaster made worse by global warming, and as Mr. Shaw is the Minister for Climate Change with achievements to promote in that area, even they are a political issue. This year, everything is. And James Shaw's speech often sounded the most like an election sell.
A zero carbon economy and a world where every New Zealander can earn not just enough to meet their basic living costs, but to enjoy those things that many of us, and certainly all of us in this chamber, take for granted.
James Shaw reprised the underlying themes of Jacinda Ardern's speech, including both backward-looking context and a forward-looking promise of more to come.
With 2 years at the heart of government, the Green Party's first ever time in government, we have done a huge amount to create a better future for our kids and our grandchildren. But what we do next is where you will find our better future. An Aotearoa defined by its leadership on climate change, by fairness and equality and a thriving natural environment.
Which brought us to the final party with a shorter speaking time. The ACT Party leader, David Seymour. The pitch at his stall was against new laws, rules and regulations. He particularly argued against the plans to intervene in the petrol market, rules about plastic shopping bags and new gun regulations.
Not only are their policies ineffective at making New Zealand a better place, they're actually damaging. You see, Mr. Speaker, this government sees every aspect of public policy through the lens of class warfare. Employers are people who save up, invest capital, have ideas, attract customers so they can give someone a job. I think that's pretty cool. I think that's admirable. Not this government. At every step of the way, minimum wage increases, national awards under the new name of fair pay agreements, new regulations on every aspect of employment. They actually make it harder for people to employ. They actually make it harder for people to get jobs.
The debate on the Prime Minister's statement will eventually clock up 13 hours and involve a good portion of the MPs from across all of the parties. At the end, we will discover whether or not Parliament will confirm the continued existence of the current government. But don't hold your breath. There'll be a couple more weeks of periodic politicking and trying out themes for the general election before we get to an actual vote. You've been listening to The House. E te whakarongo koe ki te whare. E hutake a poake nā teitahi pūtia āwhina. Nō mai, i te pāramata. Mā te wā.